start recording, and we're going to get some audio going, and we quiet. All right. Wow. How about that? I'm so sorry to be late. I don't like running late. It's a terrible thing. Sometimes it happens. I try not to let that happen often or at all, but sometimes it happens. It's been a pretty crazy couple of days. We've been obviously in New Zealand, in Wellington, and that was pretty fantastic. We had the New Zealand Women's Conference on, and so that was full on. And then following up from that, we had the retreat, the Dave Damon retreat, and that turned some heads. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people absolutely blown away with that. If there's anybody who's on the call tonight, who enjoyed it, who liked it, let us know what your feedback was. But we've had incredible feedback, and a lot of people actually asking for another day with Damien. So, you know, maybe this Damien guy actually knows something. Maybe. But it was interesting because I spoke at the New Zealand Women's Conference, and, you know, I spoke about different things, all the different things you can do with your health and your well-being and with food and, I suppose, also just, you know, being, you know, what are the things that could enlighten you about your choices with food or your, you know, your well-being? What sorts of things could you be doing to enhance your well-being? I suppose that was the direction of, you know, what I was speaking about at the conference, because the title or the thing was It Starts Now. And so it was really about making sure that you gave whatever you were doing, you gave a red hot go. That was essentially, you know, what it was all about. And you gave it a red hot go from, you know, the get-go, so just get it all going. So I might run through some of those things that I actually spoke about at the day, and then if that stimulates any kind of conversation, then, you know, please feel free to pipe up, jump in, and, you know, ask us any questions or ask me any questions about what I'm talking about. So Sarah, I see, great, says hi. Sharon, Tracy and Janine, they're the people that I can see there. There's other people that have signed that are actually on the cast tonight but haven't said hello. So let's see if you want to say hello. If you do, you do, then that's fantastic. Sharon says, any more days with Damon and Wellington in the future? I sure hope so. I'd like to go. Maybe, Sharon. Maybe. Could be. We'll see. We'll see what happens. It was well received, and I know that people that actually went got, you know, really, really enjoyed it, Sharon. So jump onto the Facebook page and chat with people who actually went. I know that there's quite a few people that have already jumped on the Facebook page and have commented on it and have, you know, have given feedback about it. So, and we've received feedback too, as we always receive feedback from all of our events. So see what people are saying. So I opened up the day by just, you know, I suppose talking about what was appropriate with regards to food. I spoke about grains not being essential for health and well-being. And, you know, this does disappoint some people, and some people just cannot ever handle the concept of having no grains. And that's the reason why I made I gave you the cereal recipes, but also I've made forage. And it's because some people really do enjoy eating grains. And I have no issue with eating grains if you want to, but just need to, I suppose, keep in mind that it's not essential to eat grains. You don't have to eat grains to survive. In fact, most of the population, for the first 20 million years of our existence, didn't actually eat grain. That's quite amazing, isn't it? Amazing to think of that. The other thing that we spoke about was that processed food isn't good for you. And what I spoke about there is that it's really only been since the Industrial Revolution that we've had a lot of processed food. The most processing we ever did was just milling of grains and milled it down to something that we could then wet and turn into something else. So we turned it into breads or unleavened bread or, you know, maybe it might have been used to thicken soups or create sauces, those sorts of things, you know, back in ancient times. Or, I mean, ancient times, probably what I'm talking about here is like 200 or 300 years ago. But since the Industrial Revolution, we've really just turned so many things into so many different products from just a few grains. So you might have used 3 or 4 or 5 different types of grains. You created hundreds of different products from these grains. And so all of a sudden people think that you need to eat these particular foods to be or stay or get healthy, and you actually don't. Because really, if you're going to live your whole life on just a variety of 5 grains and expect to live a long, healthy life, then it's highly unlikely that you would.
the flip side that I'd like to add to that is that some people actually have lived on grains their whole life, and they're like 90, 91, 92, 93. My grandfather, who's 93 years old, he basically has had two bits of bread, a meat pie, a cup of tea, and some water almost every single day of his life, and that's kind of just what he lived on, spaghetti on toast, and very, very simple kind of existence, not a whole lot in his diet, albeit he's really quite tired these days, but he's 93. He hasn't had surgeries until the last couple of years when he had his right kidney removed because he had cancer in there. Other than that, everything's pretty good with him. So you go, well, how do some people do it and other people don't? Now, I don't know whether or not Papa was tired, just generally. I don't know whether or not, you know, he's the kind of guy that got lots of colds or not. I suspect that he wasn't because he always seemed pretty healthy to me. But and he is still healthy, actually. So, you know, kind of go, well, maybe it's not too bad. But he also wasn't overweight. And so what we've got to understand there is that genetically he evolved differently to the way other people who are overweight actually have evolved and have a response to grain. So some people, through evolution, have managed to be able to eat some grain, and other people, throughout evolution, haven't been able to eat some grain. And the people who are overweight, generally, I'm being a bit broad here in my discussion, generally those people who are overweight don't tolerate excess carbohydrate very well. And that excess carbohydrate could be from potatoes, could be from grains. Let's just say it comes from starch. So the reason why I've chosen gluten-free grains for people to be able to consume is that they're lower in starch and they tend to work quite well. So, you know, feel free to eat those sorts of grains, and I'm happy for you to do that. It's going to be all right. Make sure you eat lots of fruits and vegetables. The next thing to understand is that sugar makes you fat. Now, that's sugar from fruits and vegetables, and also sugar from breads and cereals and all those sorts of things, as well as table sugar. It's not fat that makes you fat, unless you eat truckloads of it. It's really more the carbohydrate and the effect of carbohydrate on your overall well-being that trip the challenge. Now, with your fruit and with your veggies, you've really got to eat a lot of fruit and vegetables to make this all turn pear-shaped. So to speak, it's not going to be bad for you to have some fruit and some vegetable. And in fact, you want to be aiming for somewhere between 12 and 15 servings of fruits and vegetables on a daily basis, really to get the best results. But if you're not eating that much fruit and vegetable, then you're probably going to find yourself craving other types of carbohydrates. So really try and mix it up, get as much as you possibly can into you. The other one that I wanted to mention was that eating primal is not a fad, because many people actually talk about primal lifestyles or paleo-style lifestyles being a fad. It's quite clearly not, because paleo sort of thing's been going for 20,000 years. And so it's, you know, a fad's kind of something that's quite short-lived. And so a fad would be something like the food pyramid, which has only been going since the 1980s. That would be a fad. And in fact, it's probably the ultimate fad because most people have stuck to it. It's actually not high-quality nutrient recommendation. Eating closer to primal is the best way to go. So it's, you know, unprocessed foods as much as possible. That's one of the best ways to go. But it's certainly not a fad. Also, spoke about the life force in food is regarded as being intelligent. I know that everybody really on the call tonight is aware of that concept of there being a degree of intelligence in food that's fresh, and that's demonstrated through just chopping the top of a carrot and putting that on, say, some cotton wool and giving a bit of water and letting it, you know, grow in the sunshine. So it's a good indicator of intelligence in food, and you can see that in your nuts and your seeds as well. So Sharon says, I did the colon clear last night. Do you only do it once, or are you meant to do the colon clear for a few days in a row? You do it for a couple of days in a row. Sharon, that's probably the best thing. And then do it only on the days that your bowels don't move. So you should find that you probably at least get a day in between. But then eventually, you won't need to use it at all. Sarah says, yes, more days a day would be great. What about the possibility of having beginners one day and a more advanced one for Alzheimer's? Yeah, that's a possibility. That's a good possibility. You certainly do that. Sarah goes, can you go through the heartburn thing again? I've been focusing on this last 2 days, and it seems it's actually happening between meals quite a bit. Can't remember what this means and what I do. So if you're getting heartburn after food, then you're you've got low acid levels. If you're getting heartburn between your meals, it means you've got high acid levels. So the high acid levels are usually in response to a bacterial infection. And the recommendation that I have for you today is to do the gastrointestinal cleanse. So do the gut cleanse. Now, I don't think I've actually put this up on the 112-day challenge website, but I'll try and log into the chat and see if I can get the chat going. No, I can't. But Hayley, I know Hayley's there tonight. So I'll write this. I'll spell it out to you. This is what you've got to do. If you've got heartburn between your meals, so not heartburn after meal. If you've got heartburn between your meals, this is what you've got to do. You'll do it 3 times a day. You take a supplement called Parex, P-A-R-E-X. So you take that 2 tablets 3 times a day, to Parex. Then the next thing you take is Ultra Probioplex. You take that 2 capsules 3 times a day. And the other thing you take is something called Peptex, P-E-P-T-E-X. And take that 1 capsule 3 times a day. So you do those 3 things. Now, within 10 days, you should have a noticeable difference. And you should be able to, once you've done 10 days, you should be able to stop. You shouldn't have to continue to do it anymore. If you really get bad heartburn, like really bad heartburn, it feels like your gut's just going to burn, or you know you've got Helicobacter, or you know you've got an ulcer, then the other thing that you'd add to the Peptex, the Parex, and the Ultra Bioplex is something called Bactrex. You take 1 of those 3 times a day as well, and that's what we would call a triple antibiotic. And so you do all those things to really, knock things on the head. We ran through this through February, and it was called Fart-Free February. And so if you want, what you can do is you can do the Fart-Free February program. And the Fart-Free February program is really easy. In fact, Hayley's offered to send that through. If you wanted to consider doing the Fart-Free February program, that's actually a gastrointestinal cleanse, and that will obviously decrease the bloating in the upper part of the digestive tract and also the bloating in the lower part of the digestive tract. So do all that. Shaz goes, I found through changing my eating habits that bread previously made me feel bloated and generally yuck. I did not realise this until I cut it out altogether and then had a couple of salad sandwiches the other day and did not like how it made me feel afterwards. I put it down to bread. Yeah. Well done, Shaz. Yep. You've worked it out. Selling sandwiches, albeit you go, well, it's just not a sandwich, it's got to be healthy for me. 2 things go on there, or maybe 3 things. One, there's a lot of carbohydrate in bread, and that can make you feel bloated. The other thing that a lot of people get is the reaction to the gluten, or the reaction to the yeast and all the other junk that you can actually find in bread. And so that's certainly something to keep in mind as well, because it could be that as a challenge. Some people also have a sensitivity to iceberg lettuce, and so they can feel quite bloated after having iceberg lettuce. So if it was a salad sandwich with iceberg lettuce in it, that could be a bit of a challenge. So maybe, Shaz, consider all the other things that might have been in there. There's a good question here. Can you please tell me your thoughts on green bean vermicelli? It's apparently made of 100% green beans. I'd like to use it mixed through a stir fry, maybe under some chili minced beef or lamb, I think, says Tracy. Yeah, sounds pretty good to me. Green bean vermicelli. So, never heard of it. Might do a Google search on it. If it just is 100% green beans, then I'm really good with that. I reckon that's just amazing. Green bean vermicelli, look at that. Nutrition, green bean vermicelli nutrition. 1 cow vermicelli. Wow. That looks amazing. There's mung bean. Wow, check it out. That could be good. Here we go. Green bean vermicelli. Carbohydrate total is 42 grams per 42 grams per 50 gram serve. So it's 84 grams of calories. It's pretty rich in carbohydrate. It's a low intensity type of calories. Yeah, go on, give it a go. See how you go. Maybe you won't need a whole lot, but I'd mix it in with your veggies. You know, try not to make your whole meal of that, but definitely I reckon what you said, Tracy, I'd mix it through a stir fry or maybe some mince or lamb. Why not? Give it a go. But it is 80, 80-odd% carbohydrates, pretty high. There's no protein in there and there's no fat. So the rest of it's going to be, you know, other fibres and bits and pieces. Shane's goes, just so you know, I completed my 10K walk in the Huntley Half Marathon on the 20th of May. In 1 hour, 80 minutes, 2 seconds, I came 8th in a 10K walk. Well done, Shaz. Let's go. Look at that. What a great feeling. Bet you feel great about that. I'm wrapped. Someone says that we'll photograph it and send it through. I think that was before I started doing it. Make it part of my veggie count. Yeah, you'd have to. You'd have to be part of your veggie count because there's no protein and there's no fat. So that if you're going to add it to a stir fry, that whole stir fry combination, you'd be serving up around about a moundful. Okay, that'd be appropriate. Yeah, that'd be appropriate. Yeah, so let's move on. Now, we spoke also about working out. And so I spoke about a workout is great, but the outdoors are best. So if you're going to work out inside, that's fine, but try and get out in the outdoors. So exactly what we just mentioned there in terms of Sharon doing her 10K walk, which is awesome, that's getting outside. There's nothing wrong with people going out and doing a 10K walk or walking for an hour or walking for, you know, 90 minutes, just timing it and see how far you can actually go. So at the 45-minute point, turn around and come home so that you can just go as far as you possibly can. That's a really good thing to do. It's actually good then to set yourself a goal as to how far you can actually walk in that period of time. I think it's really good. Some people talk about wearing shoes all the time. In fact, I had a young man the other day told that he had to have orthotics, and he's still in high school, and he'd only be year 9 or year 10, and he was told that he had to wear orthotics. Now, the concern for me with kids being told they've got to wear orthotics, even adults having to wear orthotics, is that your feet get lazy. If your feet get lazy, it doesn't help you at all. So the challenge there is that your feet then lose their posture, they lose their muscle, their muscle tone, and your arches will drop. And that, of course, creates instability in the pelvis, instability in the knees, instability in the hips, and that'll affect your whole of your body. So you're better off walking barefoot or even training barefoot. So go for a run, go for a jog, walking around the house barefoot. You know, you want to try to do all those sorts of things. Just keep it natural rather than actually wearing shoes all the time. A lot of us wear shoes from the moment we wake up all the way through to the moment we go to sleep, and it means that we lose our foot posture. So try to think about the surfaces that you work on. Mix it up a little bit. We spoke about 30 minutes per day as a start, not being an end. 30 minutes is a really good place to start, but you want to aim for more exercise than just that. And then you want to exercise for hormone control. And so I was talking about exercising, say, in the afternoon to decrease the effect of stress. So if you exercise in the afternoon, you would decrease stress on your body. If you exercise in the middle of the day, you'd help your body sleep at night. If you exercise first thing in the morning, you'd burn more fat. So it could be you do three lots of half hours. You might exercise half an hour in the morning, that'll help you burn more fat. Exercise half an hour at lunchtime, that'll help you sleep better. And then exercise half an hour in the evening, and you'll decrease your cortisol by 50%. You decrease the effect of cortisol by 50%. On your body, and that's massive. So, you know, you ought to consider those sorts of things. Sarah goes, her hammies were sore after the Sunday session. Oh, were they? That's good. So you did your 10K walk. Oh, that was Shaz. Oh, no, Sarah, you're saying that because of, oh, that's right, the Sunday session. We actually had personal training on the retreat on the day with Damien, and you were pushed pretty hard. And you would expect to actually be a little bit sore. So I'm pleased that you were sore. It means that you actually, you know, you did what you had to do. I like that a lot. I'm actually incredibly impressed with that. So congratulations. I'm wrapped with that, Sarah. A couple of other things we spoke about on the day over the 2 days that we were there, because I actually doubled up some of the information. It was more about being mindful with your food choices. A lot of people aren't mindful with their food choices. And so subsequently, you know, the challenge with being not mindful is that you tend to overeat. And what we did on the Sunday was actually I gave people permission basically to serve up their own portion sizes and then see how they went. One of the things I noticed was that a lot of people still continue to overeat. And I didn't want to harp on it because, you know, I found in the past by me giving too much information away all in one day, especially about portion sizes, is that's one of the things that people tend to drop. And so I figured that what I should do is discuss the concept again of the palm method by just, you know, bring it just into your consciousness so that you can be aware that there's a couple of things that are at play with that. And one is the speed at which it takes for you to eat your food. So the speed at which it takes for you to eat your food will determine your satiety levels and your hunger levels. So if you eat your meal in a period of time under 20 minutes, then you're going to be really hungry really soon. So if you take 20 minutes or more to eat your meal, then you're not going to be hungry at all. So there's that. The other thing you've got to do is make sure that you're having protein, fat, and carbohydrate with every meal. So you want to make sure that you're having your two fingers worth of fat. You want to make sure you're having a handful of carbohydrate. And you want to make sure you're having a palm full of protein with every single meal. So it's three meals a day. And if you get all that right, you'll actually find your body managing satiation or satiety really, really well. So consider that. Consider that. Let's see if we have any more questions coming in. All right, Shaz goes, did I catch that right? Have you exercised in the morning, burn more fat? Yeah, you did. You did. Tracy goes, love those personal trainers. I'm only just moving normally this evening. Laugh out loud, loved it. That's great. That's good, Tracy. Yeah, if you're burning up, if you're sore after doing some training, that's a great response. That's the sort of response that you want. That's the thing that I love to see. I really enjoy seeing people, burn up and feel really, you know, really tired and sore after they've actually worked out. You know, it should be 2 days. You should actually feel that fatigue, that soreness for about 2 days. So what is today? Oh, wow, yeah, it's been 2 days. That's right. So, it's the second day today after the event. And so today is the toughest day, second day DOMS. That's what happens. DOMS is delayed onset muscle stress. And that's very, very common. It's incredibly common. So we spoke about a few other things. I spoke more about understanding what your body might be doing, and many people are scared of getting a cold. So we spoke about whether or not it's appropriate to go and get a flu shot. I don't recommend getting a flu shot. I think it's actually a bit silly to go get a flu shot because you're injecting yourself with a whole bunch of chemicals that your body most probably doesn't need. You're also injecting yourself with proteins that are only suspected to be the flus that you're going to come into contact with, not actually guaranteed to be the flus that you are going to come into contact with. So I do encourage people to, you know, boost their immune system by using vitamin C and eating really good food. You know, maybe use some herbs too to boost your immune system. That's a better way to go. I also spoke about bleeding gums. Now, bleeding gums are an alarm. You know, if you've got bleeding gums, then you've got a situation where you're increasing risk of cardiovascular disease. In fact, bleeding gums are a sure sign that your heart's under stress. So you want to make sure your gums aren't bleeding. So if you do have bleeding gums, my encouragement is that you take Coenzyme Q10 and lots of vitamin C. I want to make sure people are aware that all drugs have a negative effect, and whilst there's a biological effect and often a physiological benefit in taking some kind of drug, you know, you might be out of pain, or you might kill an infection, or you might decrease blood pressure, you might block cholesterol formation, or you might increase your happiness or decrease the amount of stress. You know, these sorts of drugs all have a negative effect. And now, some people call that a side effect, but they're all effects. So you've got positive effects and you've got negative effects. The drugs cause both. It's not that it's a possible side effect, it's an effect. And it's just that, just because it's not the effect that they want you to have, doesn't mean that it's a side effect. It's actually a negative effect of the drug. So all drugs have negative effects, and you need to be aware of that. And so one of the things I mentioned was that if you have antibiotics, it will take you 2 years to get your gut sorted out again after one course of antibiotics. So keep that in mind. It's really worth trying to avoid antibiotics. Be sick. It's okay. You know, get a cold, boost your immune system. Don't be worried about getting a cold or being sick. It's fine for you. Basically, it's your body telling you to take it easy. Chill out. Go get some sleep. Have some warm food. Sleep a bit. You know, it's nice. It's good for you. The other thing was, if you have gas, it's a warning sign. If you're farting heaps or if you're burping lots, then your guts aren't right. So if you're burping lots, it's usually if you have low acid. If you've got heartburn, we just spoke about that. If you've got heartburn after a meal, it's low acid. So you need to take something called Metagest, or have more lemon juice, or have some apple cider vinegar with the meal. So that's something that you consider. If you fart heaps, have a probiotic. Have some pancreatic enzymes to assist you in digestion of your protein. So think about the things that you can actually have. If you've got splitting nails and thinning eyebrows, it could be a thyroid issue, but it's often a zinc deficiency, which many times when people actually have splitting nails or thinning eyebrows, it's associated with suppressed or depressed or under-functioning immunity. So I'd encourage you to consider having some zinc in your diet. Now, you get zinc from oysters, you get zinc from nuts, but many people are so deficient in zinc that they need to supplement with the mineral zinc in a supplement form. So you want to have that always with your food. So consider doing those sorts of things if any of those sorts of things ring a bell for you. Everybody, it's nearing 7 past 7, and I know that I was on a little bit late, but let me know whether or not there's any questions. We've got about a minute to go of the call, and let me know whether or not you would like to see more days with Damien, or if you, it's something that floats your boat, if you'd like to do that, let us know, because it's one of the things that we're trying to get some feedback on as to whether or not we're going to continue to run these sorts of events. And, you know, we enjoyed the day, we felt that the day was very successful and people enjoyed it, but we need your feedback as to whether or not they're a valuable thing to run. And you know, it's more than one or two people saying, yes, please do it again. We need a group of people to do it again, and it's you know, it's a great exercise. It's to fly out from Australia for it, and to fly Phyllis and Rosita and Haley up to whichever location, or to down to whichever location we're going to have it at. We need a lot of people at these sorts of events to make it worthwhile for us and for everybody else. Cost affordable and all that sort of thing. So, you know, give us some feedback. That'd be great. Well, there's no more questions coming through, so I'm going to say sayonara. Have a great night. Have a great week. It's been, it seems like a quick chat, but that's 30 minutes, and it is incredible. There's so much to learn in nutrition, and 112 days is an opportunity for your body. 112 day challenge is an opportunity for you to take your body to a new level, take your body to a place where it hasn't been before. You know, really, really give your body a chance to have an amazing response. Just, you know, don't have sandwiches. Don't have any pasta. This is your chance to really make a difference in your body. See how far you can take it. See if you can get 20 kilos off if you've got 20 kilos to lose. See if you can get 10 kilos off if you've got 10 kilos to lose. See how far you can actually take your body without limitation. Don't limit your success by trying to include foods that are outside of your program. It's only 112 days. It's only a little bit of time. So smash it. Give it a really red hot go. Tracy, thank you. Thank you so much for the feedback. We can look at more of those days. We certainly will look at an advanced one and a junior burger one for the people that are new, so an introductory one. So thanks, everybody. Have a ripper week. And Phyllis will be with you next week. And in fact, we might both be with you next week. So take care. Be good. Glad you like the lamb shanks, Sarah. Thanks for the feedback. See ya.
The moderator has left the conference.